Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World in this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. And, folks, I hope you have a comfortable seat because we have a fantastic show tonight. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member from one of the greatest bands of the 80s, Talking Heads, Chris France, the backbeat behind the Talking Heads and the Tom Tom Club. He's going to be joining us in a few moments, and we have been looking forward to tonight for a long time, so it's going to be a good one, so we hope that you can stick with us for the whole hour. We also want to thank handling the technical responsibilities for tonight's broadcast, Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson, over in the fine state of Ohio, and handling our music tonight, subbing for Jim Johnson, who did have a loss in the family. Scott Carney is the one in charge of the music for tonight, and we do thank him. And, of course, from his massive Wild World News studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson.
Wow, what a show tonight.
I know. Pretty excited.
Yes, I am too. I have to say that we've been experiencing rain here in this part of the country, but I was told, now, these meteorologists, I really think they actually have a dartboard that they throw darts at to forecast the weather, but they're saying by the weekend, we will have the warmest weather that we've seen yet this season, so we cannot wait.
I sure am ready.
I am ready as well. So it should be hopefully a delightful spring, and we've got some great shows planned up for the next few weeks, so we hope everybody can continue to have us on their schedule at 10 o'clock on Thursday nights. And also remind everyone that if you go into the Blog Talk Radio site in the archives, you can download any of these shows free of charge at your convenience, and we have some dandies from the past. In fact, I was telling you earlier, Doctor, this is the third member that we've had from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Of course, Al Jardine from the Beach Boys joined us a few weeks ago, and of course, Dave Davies from the Kinks. So, man, this is great. Absolutely fantastic.
Yes, and we're looking forward to tonight's show.
Yeah, we are. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by our brand new children's book, Alphabet Swamp, written by my dear wife Cheryl and illustrated by yours truly. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com. Or send check or money order for $10. These are signed copies, folks. Send that to WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening, all you animal lovers out there.
Oh, well, they're all here.
Tonight, we're going to start out with the Wild World News in Anchorage, Alaska.
Uh-oh.
Now, I call this story, and she was.
Oh, okay.
Kicked by a moose.
Kicked
Anchorage police are warning residents not to approach moose after one kicked a woman at a city park. Now, luckily, she didn't have to go to the hospital. Now, the moose had been in Town Square Park most of the day feeding on trees. The woman in her 20s was attacked when she tried to pet the moose.
Oh.
Police spokeswoman Anita Shell says that moose are usually not a threat unless they're provoked, unless you want to pet them.
Yes. I would recommend never to pet a moose because they have they cannot see that well, and that happens to be, and I'm sure that you realize this, Dr. Day, the largest member of the deer family.
Yes, they are rather large animals.
Yes, they are, and they do not have a strong amount of patience. So our lesson tonight is don't pet a moose.
Don't pet a moose.
That's right.
All right, Bridgeport, Connecticut. I call this story, What a Day That Was, January 22nd. An endangered Brazilian ocelot kitten born at the Beardsley Zoo on January 22nd was set to be examined to determine its gender and to check its health. Now, the kitten, which has not yet been named, has been in seclusion to bond with its mother. Now, the kitten is the second born through artificial insemination to Kuma, the resident Brazilian ocelot there.
That is one of the most beautiful cats in the world, and that's just tremendous. These zoos get involved in breeding these endangered species. That's the future of many of these animals, so our hats off are to them, absolutely.
That's right, and as the last few weeks we've been reporting, there are a lot of new births around the country.
Yeah, spring is in the air. Is there one in the Day family?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
All right, we're off to Idaho Falls, Idaho. Now, I call this story, Thank You for Sending Me an Angel with Green Wings.
Oh.
A parrot. Now, listen to this story. A parrot left in a drop box at an Idaho Falls animal shelter loves women but doesn't like to take baths or doesn't like men, according to a note left with the parrot. Now, the parrot has a yellow head, red breast, green back, and tail. Now, shelter worker Carissa Graham says that the parrot has been a fun addition to the shelter. Now,
well,
this is kind of a new thing. I've never heard of a drop box at an animal shelter.
I had not either, but that's, kind of a unique idea. That proves one thing. You know, a lot of these tropical animals that are brought into the country or raised in captivity, they're just not the perfect pet for everyone. We have a blue and gold macaw, you know, the big parrot from Brazil, and in the summertime, when the light goes through its window about 5 a.m. and it starts sounding off, my wife will elbow me and say, why don't you see if you can get three or four more of those? It sounds like the rainforest around the house.
I remember a time when you had six of them.
Oh, my Lord, I know. Oh, gosh.
You can hear them from two blocks away.
Oh, yes, yes.
All right, well, we're heading off to Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, I call this story Nothing But Flowers. And the flower tonight is a buttercup.
Oh, there we go.
The Knoxville Zoo's newest resident is a 23-foot-long python named a buttercup.
Oh.
The 200-pound snake will be on display beginning this Saturday, continuing through Labor Day. Now, buttercup will be displayed in a habitat built for her that is about the size of our bedrooms.
Mm.
Now, been rented from a private herpetologist in Oklahoma City.
That's a lot of snake.
That's a lot of snake. You know, all the animals that you have, maybe you should start renting some of your animals out.
Well, that's a good idea. But that's a lot of snake. 20 feet, oh, my Lord. I've handled a couple 20-foot pythons before. I've been bitten by 20, and it's not a party, I'm going to
tell you. That is one big snake.
That is a big snake.
All right, well, we're off to Washington Township, New Jersey. Now, I call this story Once in a Lifetime. A pink-footed goose was spotted in the state for the very first time. Now, it's been hanging with Canada geese at the Slagle Lake. Now, the strange thing is these birds breed in Greenland, Iceland, and Norway. But because of their growing population, it's increased more competition in their traditional wintering grounds.
Well, that's interesting. Spring is in the air.
That's what we were talking about.
Yes, we
were. Now, if you haven't seen this in the news the last few days, I call this story Swamp or Take Me to the River.
Uh-oh.
Now, about 1 million dead anchovies and sardines were found floating in King Harbor Marina on the Los Angeles County coast. California Fish and Game officials have yet to determine exactly what happened, but the fish appear to have been moved into the harbor to escape a red tide of toxic algae that can poison the fish or deplete the water of oxygen. Mm-hmm. Now, they also think that high winds might have trapped the fish in the harbor, and crush them against a seawall.
Oh. Well, at least they have a solution, they think. You know, there's been so many of these animal deaths, you know, large quantities of birds that fell out of the sky. I think it was in Arkansas, and all these theories that have been coming out, you know, just speculation. But so maybe they have the answer for this. I did read about it. It's getting, I'll tell you what, it's getting scary.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
A lot of wild animal stories.
Yes.
All right, now I call this story Puzzling Evidence.
Mm.
Now, they call her Wisdom, a 60-plus-year-old Laysian albatross. And federal scientists report that she may become the oldest known wild bird to raise a chick. Now, the chick was found during a survey of nesting grounds last month in the Midway Atoll National Wildlife Refuge in the Pacific Ocean. Now, Chandler Robbins, a United States Geological Survey scientist, first banded Wisdom for tracking purposes back in 1956, when she was at least 5 years old. Now, Wisdom has been banded 5 times since then, with identification tags on her legs that let scientists follow her movements. Now, since a typical albatross flies 50,000 miles every year, the biologists estimate that Wisdom has traveled about 3 million miles in the air in her lifetime.
God bless
her. She's probably raised about 30 chicks. Now, albatrosses are about 2 foot long, and they possess a 6-foot wingspan. Now, the Laysian albatrosses are one of the 19 albatross species listed as threatened by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. You go, girl.
That's right. Boy, more power to her.
Well, that's the wild world news tonight.
Well, thank
and
you,
I'm,
Doctor.
I'm pretty excited to get on to Chris and who is Tina's lucky boyfriend.
That's right. Well, they're married since then, Henry. Not like
well, that's right. But
they don't have the lifestyle that you do now. So
her lucky husband. So.
We're not even going to get into that. We want to thank Dr. Henry Day for the Wild World News. Once again, an outstanding job. We also want to thank our underwriters, Peter and Kathy Weimer, and We Want You Cottages. Visit today this fantastic resort on the banks of Chautauqua Lake and their addition to their website, iKids Fishing, promoting getting youngsters interested in the fantastic sport of fishing. Their website is www.wewantyou.com. Also, a big thank you to Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes, 171,000 acres, 450 miles of shoreline, fantastic fishing, amazing golf. Go to their website, www.santeecoopercountry.org. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. probably one of the greatest bands of the 80s, without a doubt. Well, at least one of my favorites. Compromised of members David Byrne, Tina Weymouth, Jerry Harrison, and our guest tonight. I would have to say one of the cleanest and one of the best percussionists and drummers in rock, Chris Frantz, is joining us. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Larry.
Wow, it's great to have
Thank
you on
Thank you for
the show.
Having me as your guest.
Oh, man, I was going to say the same thing to being on the show. This is so fantastic. I've been a fan forever, and, of course, we were talking before we went on the air, one of the greatest, if not the greatest concert film ever made, Stop Making Sense with the Talking Heads.
Yeah, it really is pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, my Lord. It's so innovative. And what's the old less is more? You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, it was one of those situations where everybody involved just did a fantastic job. From, you know, the lighting men, the cameramen, the direction, the sound, the people who recorded the sound, the band, you know. I mean, everybody just delivered, you know. And and I'm really glad they did because, you know, otherwise we'd be left with some kind of turkey like a lot of other bands have been left with.
That had to be a great feeling that night. I assume it was
well,
from one
you know,
concert.
That whole tour was really just remarkable. It was like each night was kind of like, I don't know, some kind of transcendental experience. And, you know, the audience was just right there with us, and the band was really, really just tight and snappy and feeling good. So, yeah, those were good times.
It had to be every night, though. For the folks that have not had the opportunity to see the concert on the DVD, now I guess it's on Blu-ray, is that correct?
Yeah, I think you can buy a regular DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Some people, I think, even have discs, you know.
Oh. Well, the way the concert opens up, it's just a stark theater, and then David Byrne comes out with what we used to call a ghetto blaster or small radio with played the percussion
right.
part, and he sings Psycho Killer, and as the concert progresses, the technicians bring out more instruments with, of course, the musicians.
Right.
So that had to be every night quite a challenge for your roadies and for your music techs.
Well, our first production designer had to quit because he developed an ulcer. Seriously. But the second guy, who Dave Russell, also known as Mr. Loden, he was from Ohio. He was great. May he rest in peace. He didn't make it to 2011, but he did that show and he did a really great job for us. And then he went on to do people like Janet Jackson and George Michael and, you know, really big shows, Arena Prince. And anyway, we had a fantastic crew then, and all those guys have gone on. What, like the guy who used to do my drums now works for in some capacity for Jimmy Page. They've all done really well.
Well, I think the drums, as far as that entire album and the songs that consist of it, they're just like thunder. And
there was a lot of passion involved. We're known as being a kind of an intellectual band, or you know, people you know, kind of like you know, artistically intellectual, but we also were capable of rocking out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
as you can see in that film.
Well, I would strongly suggest any youngster that has decided that the drums are going to be their passion, that they should listen to Chris Frantz, and they should watch that.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I tell you, I'm just happy to have had the honor, really, to work with such great people over the years, and to have made friends around the world. It's been really great. So it's I'm happy to hear you say that, though.
Well, it's kind of nice, too, to actually be married to the bassist to make such a strong rhythm section. I mean, gosh.
Yeah, Tina's over in our studio right now. We just rebuilt our studio.
Mm-hmm.
The original one we built in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just went kaput about a year ago.
Oh.
You know how like after 20 years you got to replace the dishwasher?
Oh, right, okay.
Kind of like that, except on a much more gigantic scale. But Tina's working. We finally got it all together, and Tina's working on a new song. She records herself now,
mm-hmm.
so sometimes it takes a long time.
Well,
but she's a perfectionist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to get a perfect performance. So.
And now with the software and the equipment that's involved with the recording sessions, it's almost like not fair.
Well, we do work with Pro Tools, but we also
mm-hmm.
have 24-track tape, and we also have half-inch tape.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, do you realize a 2-inch reel of tape now costs $318?
Oh!
We used to have, like, order them by, you know, boxes of 10. not so much anymore. But we use Pro Tools, but we remember the old days when the band was all in the room together and
uh-huh.
we played the song. And so we try to keep that kind of esprit de corps of
mm-hmm.
sound, you know. And but you're right. You can fix things. A lot of people overfix things, and people are used to hearing things overfixed now.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why a record like, Exile on Main Street, for example,
mm-hmm.
it sounds so great because it sounds got such energy and such rawness to it. You know that. Sorely missing these days in a lot of production.
Well, there's the old story.
Having said that, I love the new electronic music also. That's really, you know, crazy. So,
oh, it is. Yes. Yeah.
I try to keep an open mind.
Sometimes it's hard, though, isn't it?
Well, sometimes, but I listen to a lot of music now, and a lot of it on the internet, actually. You know,
mm-hmm.
people's websites and stuff, and I got to say, I like a lot of what I'm hearing. And you never know where it's going to come from. Could come from Indiana.
Well, yeah.
It wouldn't be the first time either, would it?
Well, no, John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of other great bands too.
Oh, absolutely.
But
now a lot
so
of people.
So I'm happy to be on a wildlife show.
Well,
this is
I was
first
going to,
for me.
Well, this is well. People will ask me. It's called Larry Batson's Wild World, and it's my darn show. And I'm interested
yeah.
in explorers and adventurers. And we've had people like Jim Fowler, Joan Embry from the San Diego Zoo. We've had Rupert from Survivor. But also one of my big interests is rock and roll music.
Uh huh.
And then when
why not?
Yeah, so I thought, and I'm finding that many of these musicians have such strong ties with the outdoors that it's really, because I know I was reading on your website or on your Facebook page about Broken Wing. Would you tell my listeners what that's all about?
Oh, well, that Broken Wing is a, we live, where we live in the wilds of Connecticut, we're on a pond.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of an estuary, kind of was a stream behind us, and then a pond, and then a waterfall, and then the creek goes down to the Long Island Sound eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of geese in this area. I mean, really a lot, Canada geese, and they sometimes they stop traffic on the Route 1, the post road, 20 geese crossing the highway. But, on their feet, that is.
Right.
But this, we have, in our yard, we have I would say a dozen to maybe even two dozen goslings born every spring. And this one, Broken Wing, when she was about, I don't know, maybe 2 months old, we think this is what happened, that she got stuck in a fence, like a cyclone kind of fence.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, the holes are bigger than a cyclone fence, and she pulled back her feathers so that they're damaged, but they haven't dropped out yet. She hasn't molted them yet.
Right.
So I don't think her wing is real. We realize now probably her wing is not broken. It's just that the feathers on the wing, or the one wing, are very seriously damaged.
I see.
She can fly like 15, 20 feet, but mm-hmm. then she comes back down again. So we're hoping that in the spring, or when do geese molt? In the summer,
right?
I guess. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that when she molts, that the new feathers will grow in properly.
Well, she has a safe.
What do you think?
Well, but she has a safe home regardless. The France Weymouth Sanctuary.
Yeah, she does. And there are other geese around. For a while, she was alone. You know, when the New England winter was really bad, but the other geese are back now, and she's socializing now, which is good. Not so lonely.
Well, I have a good friend who's a wildlife biologist, or I should say a retired wildlife biologist for the state of Indiana. And he basically was responsible for bringing the Canadian goose back to Indiana. They'd raised the chicks and set them free. We have. The program was pretty successful.
The country clubs thank him.
There's close to 1 million in this state, I think, alone. They don't even leave in the wintertime.
Yeah, ours don't leave. A lot of them don't leave. I mean, they just stick around. There's plenty to eat.
Well, it's
where we live here, we have we're surrounded by. It's very, you know, we even have otters, river otters. We have muskrat. We have raccoons. We have, of course, squirrels. We have deer. We have coyote.
Mm-hmm.
We have snapping turtles. We have all kinds of frogs. plenty of bird life. It's a nice place to live.
Well, and it has to be very inspirational, not only for your music, but also for your art that you do.
Yeah, sometimes we miss New York City, but we're only about an hour and 20 minutes away, so we just, you know, hop in the car and go to New York.
Yeah, it'll always be there, too.
Yeah.
Not like, you know.
Hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I live in a very similar setting. We have 20-plus acres in the middle of nowhere, and it's just absolutely fantastic. And we don't have the problem with animals coming too close because we keep six tigers here, so the deer pick up that scent, so they stay.
Now, did you rescue those tigers from somewhere, or did you import them, or?
Well, we did rescue them. In fact, I should have told you, we travel each year and we do about 200 school programs. We go into schools with our animals.
I saw that on your website, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we used to take animals on Johnny Carson with Jim Fowler.
Oh, okay. All right.
So if you saw a particular...
Those were great shows.
Oh, that's the best. I mean... We were the ones, if you might recall, we had a black Celebes ape that during the segment proceeded to sock Carson right in the mouth. And it turned out to be a classic. So, but
wow,
this is fantastic. So in touch with nature. I kind of had the feeling that you were.
Well, yeah, Tina and I both love nature. We also have a place in the Bahamas. And up until recently, we had a sailboat, a very nice sloop, that we would sail all around the Bahamas. I never got out of the Bahamas, really, except to go up to New England in the summertime. But it was wonderful, you know. I'm sorry about what's happening to all the reefs in especially around New Providence where NASA is. It's pretty much dead now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you know, the local fishermen, and plus just there's a lot of wear and tear. The local fishermen used bleach to get crawfish to come out of the reefs.
Oh.
And that, of course, did the reefs in.
Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs.
Sad
there.
Situation. But anyway, we got to enjoy a lot of, nautical type, tropical island type wildlife down there.
Well, our guest tonight is Chris France from the fantastic group Talking Heads. We're going to be back in just a few moments. Folks, you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
This bobcat, heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, not.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World in this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be back with Chris France from Talking Heads in just a moment. I want to tell everyone that next week on our program, Okie Fanokie Joe from South Carolina. We'll be talking gators and snakes and also hearing some of his fantastic music down from South Carolina. It should be a great show, so be sure you tune in next week. And all of our shows are available on download. Just go to the Blog Talk website, and you can do that from, well, our show is over a year and a half, and we've had some amazing guests. We also want to thank RadioMom.fm and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods, and listen to my show every Sunday. It's called The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7 each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Also, a big thank you to McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. You ever been to Estes Park, Colorado, Chris?
I've been to Colorado. Where is Estes Park? Is that near Vail?
No, it's north of Vail. It's close to Rocky Mountain National Park. Well, it's on the boundaries of it.
Ah, okay. Well, I've been near there.
Well, we call it God's country. It's absolutely fantastic.
It is gorgeous. Where I like to go is Crested Butte.
That's pretty
too. Do you know Crested Butte?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the whole darn state, pretty much.
Yeah, it's great.
Go to their website at info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Also, be sure you check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and also our brand-new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, we have some great questions on there, so challenge the old thinking there on wildlife. That's at LarryTheAnimalGuy.com and also our Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Fantastic sounds of the Tom Tom Club. That's your dear wife on vocals there, Chris, huh?
Yes, it is. It is.
Wow.
And her two sisters.
And her sisters.
Well, she has actually, I think, five sisters.
You think?
She comes from a big family, but two of them, Laura and Lonnie, sang with us on that song and the entire first and second album. And then they had children and they retired from show business.
Oh. Well,
yeah.
One of my favorite things, that's an amazing bass line she's written for that song.
Indeed. It's that's one funky track.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's been, what do they call it? I call it Stolen, but it's been used in several other tracks.
Oh,
from various
sampled,
artists.
Yeah.
Sampled, right.
It's one among the most sampled. It's right up there with James Brown and Chic and Parliament, Funkadelic. There's certain bands that have been sampled a lot, and I'm proud to say we are among them.
Well, that's great, yeah. Because it always helps the checkbook.
Well, it does. You know, Mariah Carey sampled "Genius of Love," and it was a song that was number one for something like 17 weeks.
Oh,
and
you just hated
helped put our kids through college.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And those just come out of the blue. You probably had no clue that was going to happen until it basically happened, or.
That's right. Her attorneys called us up and said that she had. Well, actually, what they said was she was thinking about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, it was all recorded and everything already. But anyway, we're very happy. We love Mariah.
Yes, you do.
I hope she records or samples another one of our songs someday.
So going back to we will talk about the Tom Tom Club, but going back to the Talking Heads now, my understanding is that you guys were in art college. Is that correct?
Yes. We were students at Rhode Island School of Design, three of us, Tina, David, and myself. Jerry went to Harvard.
Oh.
Jerry came on board a couple years after we started, just before we made our first album. And Jerry Harrison, that is, lives out in Sausalito now.
Mm-hmm.
No, I take that back. Mill Valley, right next to Sausalito. He has a studio in Sausalito, and he's had pretty good success producing other bands. Tina and I are here. And in Connecticut, and David is in New York City.
And judging by what I've read, the chances of Talking Heads getting back together maybe like the Beatles getting back together.
Yeah.
Was that a good
maybe
comparison?
A little bit better than that.
Oh, really?
A little bit better than the Beatles. But, it's really David that is not into, being in a band per se anymore. He prefers to have hired musicians, and they come and they go, and the rest of us we're hanging in there and we're doing just fine. So,
well, yeah,
happy to have had a good run while we had it.
I can't even imagine what the audience outpouring in love would be if for some way somehow that yourself, your wife Tina Weymouth, Jerry Harrison, and David Byrne would get back together and do a tour.
You're absolutely right, Larry. I couldn't agree with you more.
It would almost. I know the beauty of Stop Making Sense was it was so intimate, but I could almost see that as being a stadium tour because of the love of the Talking Heads that has developed over the years. It's exploded.
Absolutely.
I should say.
Absolutely. It'd be great to do it while we're all still alive and kicking.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
Yes, it does.
So what was it like touring with the band? Were you guys the kind of, I don't know how to put this, practical jokers?
We had very quite a few stages of touring when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
We could fit the band, Tina, David, myself, and all of our gear into my parents' station wagon. And that's how we toured.
There you go.
It was a country squire.
Did it have wood on the side?
Yeah, it had fake wood on the side. Well, you know, that's how
it
we
worked.
Rolled.
That's right.
and then we graduated to vans.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually we graduated to airplanes and rental cars.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't we very rarely used tour buses until the last tour, which was the tour that became known as Stop Making Sense. Tina and I had a bus. Sometimes David would ride with us because we had a newborn baby.
Oh.
So well, not exactly newborn, but a very young baby,
mm-hmm.
young child, and on the road with us, and it was just easier for us to go by tour bus. And that's a great way to see America, you know.
Oh, yes.
The truck stops of America.
They're fantastic. You know, I hate to say this, but one year we bought all of our Christmas gifts out of truck stops. Because they sell amazing things in truck stops.
They do.
It's like... You can buy a microwave.
A nice buckle. You could get a nice buckle. Or,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, all microwave. Kinds of stuff.
So was it fun? I mean, was it...
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was fun. And you know, what was really fun for me, anyway, was Europe. Because
mm-hmm.
until Talking Heads, I had never been to Europe or you know, or Japan. So that kind of traveling was really the most fun, and you know, meeting new people, trying to speak foreign languages, trying to make your per diem last to
right.
dinner time.
Mm.
we had some liquor and drugs in there for a while, but I don't think. We weren't like extreme about it the
mm-hmm.
way some bands were.
Yeah,
we had a pretty good instinct for self-preservation.
Well, I wasn't even going there because I've always considered you guys such a, how do I put a cerebral band?
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorite moments in the Stop Making Sense video was when David Byrne could ask any questions.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Does anybody have any questions? Yeah.
Was that a line
one.
He'd use every night, or was that just have me spontaneous for that particular?
That was concert? Actually overdubbed.
It was.
I think what he was really saying was good night or something like that. But in the soundstage, he overdubbed. Anybody have any questions? Because that sounded better.
that's a fantastic line.
Yeah.
How did it come about, you know, with, you know, there's so many, as we talked earlier, less is more, and because of the various props that were used, like the big suit and so forth. How did that, was
uh-huh.
that like everybody came up with these ideas, or was this just kind of the brainchild of David?
Well, the big suit idea came from someone when we were in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this no theater in Japan, which is a very traditional, old, ancient type of theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they use these big suits. So I think we were always wondering, how can we make an impression without doing the typical rock and roll thing, you know?
Right.
The predictable thing.
Mm-hmm.
How can we surprise people? And so somebody, it was a friend of David's, the girl that was later to be David's wife, who is now his ex-wife. one of her friends drew a picture on a napkin of a no costume, and just an outline of it. And what it looked like was a big suit. And so that's how that came about. Came from, I think it was a Japanese theater person who suggested it.
Oh, it was so original and so effective. It just like, I can't even imagine. Was David off stage similar to the way he was on stage?
David is a very different type of person, let me put it that way. And you're never exactly sure, you know, you're never exactly sure which David is going to be there.
I had that feeling.
Yeah. But he's a hell of a performer and,
yes,
and in his prime, a hell of a songwriter also. So I'm proud to have been associated with him and with Talking Heads.
Well, one of the most interesting people that you were involved with, which, if I'm not mistaken, produced your records for many years, was Brian Eno.
Yes, Brian Eno. What a card. he's a brilliant guy.
Mm-hmm.
As a producer, he really raises the bar so that everybody in the band tries to do something that's more different than they've ever done before. And he can be a lot of fun. He can also be very melancholy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he used to refer to himself as the Prince of Melancholia. when he was having a bad day, he said, "Today I am the Prince of Melancholia." But he's a very interesting person and very philosophical. And he has good ideas.
Oh, it's
not all of his ideas. Not all of his ideas are brilliant.
Yeah.
And for example, on my show, I have a little radio show too, Larry, and
right. My
special guest this on Friday the 25th, it will be the producer Steve Lillywhite.
Okay.
Now, Steve also worked with us on our last album, and he's worked on many U2 albums. And one time I bumped into the manager of U2 at a club in New York, Paul McGinnis, and I said, "Oh, Paul, how's everything going?" He said, "Oh, this new record is driving us crazy." And I said, "Oh, what's the problem?" And he said, "It's Eno." He said, "The man couldn't mix a rice pudding."
Oh, no.
And I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I know this is true. Everybody has their fortes, and mixing is not Brian's forte. We had a similar situation at one time with him. But what Paul McGinnis said, "Well, we're going to do what we always do when we work with Eno. We're going to bring in Steve Lillywhite to do the mix." And so Steve Lillywhite comes in fresh, and he has a lot of really great stuff on tape or on the hard drive to work with,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's how it goes sometimes. I mean, nobody's perfect, not even Brian Eno.
Well, it has to help the creative process so much to bring in what you want to call it, new blood, new inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. No two people hear the song the same way. And they have ideas.
That's right. Of course, Steve has been working with U2 since I think their first album. And now he's working with them on the Spider-Man debacle in New York on Broadway here. I don't know if you've heard about that, but the director quit or was fired or something. Julie Taymor.
Uh-huh.
Just today or yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, hadn't they had several folks injured in the process?
They've had one crisis after another. I don't know. Maybe they should just – I guess there's been so much money invested in it already that nobody wants to just pull the plug. You know.
Well, they probably should go in there and burn some sage or you know.
Good idea.
Figure out who's got the bad
Get
karma.
Some real spiders.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that will put everything in perspective, I mean. But that's
yeah.
Funny. So the Tom Tom Club, is Tina working tonight on some tracks for Tom Tom Club?
She is. Well, as I said, we just finished rebuilding our studio,
mm-hmm.
and this is the first song we've worked on. It's a song originally we were asked to do it by this band from Spain called the Pinkertones. I don't know if you've heard of the Pinkertones. They're from Barcelona.
Oh.
And they're on the same label that distributes our has distributed our latest CD, which is a live CD called Genius of Live. Anyway, the Pinkertones did remixes for us, really great. And so then they said, well, we're doing this, they're Spanish, but they some of their songs are in English. They said, we're doing this album of called Friends and Amigos, where other people, other bands do Pinkertone songs.
Mm-hmm.
So since they had done these remixes for us and done a really great job, we're recording a song of theirs for them for this album called Friends and Amigos. And it's a song called Love Tape.
Uh-huh.
And it's about, remember when guys used to make up mixtapes on cassettes for their girlfriends?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like that, you know.
It was the easiest way to get
that.
Lucky in your whole life.
Yeah. Did you ever see that movie High Fidelity? Remember at the end, the John Cusack character, who's the star of the movie, is making a mixtape for his girlfriend to impress
mm-hmm.
her.
Oh,
well, actually,
yes.
it was a journalist. That's who it was that he was making it for.
And now with this new era, we're so spoiled. You can make a mixed CD in about 10 minutes.
Yep.
I mean, and
everything is different now. You know,
everything
is different. But if you're making a love CD, then you really have to put some thought into it. You might be able to burn it quickly, but it's the selection that takes time.
It does take time, and I've done that before. And of course, one of my wife's favorite artists is John Lennon.
Oh yeah,
it's all love.
About.
Who was your inspiration that got you to play the drums and rock and roll and all that?
Well, I was already playing the drums in elementary school band in Pittsburgh when I had started on trumpet, and that wasn't working out. Mm-hmm. I had a very perceptive band teacher who was a percussionist himself, and he said, you know what, Chris, you got a good sense of rhythm. Why don't we switch you over to drums? And, you know, they gave me the little rubber pad and a pair of sticks and a book of rudiments.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working on that, and things went well, and I sort of progressed, and I was, you know, playing in the orchestra in the winter and the marching band in the spring and the fall.
Wow.
And then the Beatles came out,
mm-hmm.
and we saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. And now, we had had rock and roll before that.
Right.
You know? But when the Beatles came out and I was in the sixth grade, it was just like, you know, a revelation to everybody. Even the parents were getting into the Beatles. So that's when me and all my friends, school friends who played music, we all formed little bands, garage
mm-hmm.
bands, and practiced in our basements and grew to really enjoy it, you know. And then eventually I went to college, and that was where I met David Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
We were working on a film soundtrack for a mutual friend who was making a film about his girlfriend getting run over by a car.
Oh,
and he needed sound effects. So David and I were doing that.
And we
formed a little band called The Artistics.
Uh-huh.
And all the while I'm trying to get Tina to join the band, but she's saying no. And eventually she said yes after we'd been living in New York for a while. And, you know.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
And what a fantastic history it has been. I mean, the Talking Heads are still... They're still current.
Yes.
I mean, the music, the sound, everything, it did not age. And you can listen to it, and it sounds like it was just released.
Well, thank you.
It's I don't use this word. I considered the band pure genius. And and the rhythm section behind it, to me, was what sold it besides the voice of David Byrne.
Well, you know, we were just trying to make music that we would want to listen to.
Well, it shows. I mean, the passion behind that band and all the great albums and hits that you can. And, you know, what most people don't, you were very critically acclaimed, but you also had the hits.
We did have a few, yes. But you know, it takes a whole team to get a hit.
It does.
Not just the band. And we were lucky. We had a very good team.
You did. Fantastic music. Chris, we barely scratched the surface. We would love, if you ever have the opportunity, to have you back on again. I hope you had a good time tonight.
I did, Larry. It was great. You know, I live right near that Beardsley Zoo in Bridgeport, not far
you do.
From there, where the ocelot is.
Oh.
I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
On your newscast.
Oh, well, wow. See, Dr. Day didn't even realize that he was so close to home there. Folks, we'd love to thank Chris France from Talking Heads and Tom Tom Club. Want to tell everyone, Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones is taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call to help support us, 317-243-0700. Next week, our guest, Ofi Fanoki Joe from South Carolina, will be talking gators and snakes and hear some of his great music that he's composed for the Native Americans in that part of the country. Once again, thanks to Chris France. It's really been quite a joy, Chris. Gosh, what a nice guy.
Oh, well, thank you, Larry. My pleasure.
Want to thank Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson. Also, Dr. Day, it was a humdinger, wasn't it, Doctor?
It was. I haven't stopped smiling the entire hour.
I enjoyed those titles, the titles of your story.
well, thank you.
That'll make his whole week, Chris. You don't have any idea how hard he works on that. And that was, yes, I thought
well,
that was.
Well, I could tell. I could tell. That. I could hear the pain of creation.
It is painful sometimes.
It still kind of hurts, but I'm going to be okay.
We want to thank everybody.
Thank you,
Chris. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next week here on Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers is right.
Cheers.
Okay.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.